Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the April 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing the SDR Play RSP-1B and Stompful Stressless HF Receivers by George Viesola. At 305 millimeters wide by 120 millimeters high by 185 millimeters deep, it is about twice the size of an AOR 7030, but weighs in at a mere 1.7 kilograms, making it suitable for mobile operation. Moreover, with its clean off-white paint coat and lean, attractive design, this machine makes a great style statement and has a noticeable visual impact. As I get on in life, I appreciate larger displays and tactile, hard-wearing controls. Top marks for this and its looks. How about the famous Swiss precision and quality then? Read on to find out more. Tuning and customizing. Tuning the stressless is via the metal tuning knob or direct frequency entry. You get to the latter by tapping on the frequency display on the large touch screen. The band indicator below, when touched, reveals the pre-selection for the choice of bands to jump to, from long wave to 11 meters. Long vela is long wave, mittelvela stands for medium wave, and for rundfunk, broadcast, read shortwave band. The soft key labeled left arrow, right arrow, enables you to change the frequency in megahertz steps for speedier surfing across the bands. The stressless offers 50 memories, accessible via the memo soft key at the bottom right of the screen. You move through saved memories with the encoder. There are two VFOs, A and B. Moreover, a 10 dB attenuator, ATT, comes in handy for signals from powerful nearby transmitters. There is no AFC and no bandwidth control, and in practice neither was needed. The LED labeled field shows the relative signal strength. The receiver includes a precise temperature-compensated crystal oscillator, TCXO, and the components are of very high quality. This shows, as we will see anon. The step selector soft key on the display offers you a choice of steps, 10 Hz to 1000 Hz, and a field LED on the front helps with precision tuning. You can turn the main speaker off, plug in headphones, and regulate the volume with the red knob on the right. Turning this up considerably less than halfway already produces a room-filling sound. The speaker harmonizes well with the volume of the case. You should consider connecting an active or passive speaker to enhance the sound even further. I use the BHI-EXT-SPK-25 8-ohm, 25-watt, single-cabinet-style extension speaker, which has shown a particular affinity with the stressless. A really good way, then, to enjoy Alan Rowe's tips for music on shortwave and similar HF audio feasts. When you switch on the stressless, you will see the settings menu on the bottom right of the initial screen. Pressing this leads you to some customization options or a full reset. Touch settings again, and you can change the tuning rate, memory settings, and the display color scheme. It is all very intuitive, ergonomic, and simple. Go to YouTube for a full demonstration of the receiver's functions. In use from LF to HF. I ran the radio on an external lithium-ion battery and a good quality power adapter suitable for amateur radio. Then I hooked the stressless up to my Wellbrook loop, LN1530, on the balcony during the daytime, and was rewarded with a plethora of broadcast station transmissions across the bands. I immediately found that the selectivity, sharpness of separation, and sensitivity of this AM radio were off the scale. Using it made me much more aware, once again, of just how many broadcasters are still out there on the HF waves, even if some of the large ones are too ignorant and short-sighted to be bothered anymore. But maybe this is an advantage too, because now you can see behind the main frequencies of the formerly big stations and discover a plethora of others you did not know existed. The long-wave 252 kHz frequency is perhaps the best recent example of this. Behind the former RTE from Ireland, there is now Chen 3 from Algeria, the hunt for the signal behind the signal, as it were. This receiver enables you to do just that. If you are a medium-wave DXer like me, you may find the use of Carrier Sleuth by Black Cat Systems a useful accessory to help tease the last ounce of performance out of this radio. Carrier Sleuth is at tiny7addcpwp. Special catches. On to the Dutch Pirates next, and I tune to just above 1600 kHz on an evening on the weekend. Not only did I hear more of them than ever before, but the clarity of both speech and music impressed me, even with just the built-in speaker. With many other radios, I found that I often had trouble understanding announcements and lessons in foreign languages, but not here. It was as if the transmitter was here in the Ribble Valley, an excellent result. On to the European Non-Directional Beacon, NDB, band, where many signals are sent in AM. I am not an avid beacon hunter, but I do go on an occasional foray. Once again, there was more to catch, especially later at night, and signals were clear. The volume knob produces generously loud audio, and that helps, too, for any further PC processing. I had no trouble going down into the basement band to check on Standard Frequency and Time Signal Stations, SFTS. In this case, the French Time Signal Carrier from Alouis at 162 kHz. The European 2200 meter band, 135.7 to 137.8, Experimental Amateur Radio Band is here too, and the German Weather Service, DWD, with its long-wave utility signal. But remember, these are non-AM modes, CW and RTTY. Conclusions. I make no bones about it. This is my new go-to receiver for the long-wave, medium-wave, and short-wave broadcast bands. In terms of what it pulls in, when, and how, this is the new gold standard in my view. During my tests, it proved to be several notches up from my AOR AR7030, my previous reference receiver. This arguably demonstrates what can be achieved when you concentrate on just one simple task, monitoring HF AM broadcasting, and do it well by harnessing the best technology and components to achieve it. This is solid, classic, high-frequency technology. Take a look at the technical specifications on the Stompfl website to see what I mean. The knob screen balance, KSB, definitely not an official term, feels just right here, and the large touch screen makes available just the controls you need. In other words, there is no schnick-schnack here, as the Swiss would say. That is, no unnecessary gimmicks, bells, and whistles. You'll rediscover the shortwave hobby all over again with this truly stressless receiver. But do treat this noble radio to a decent antenna to bring out the best. The new Stompfl X1 active dipole, perhaps? Last but not least, pared down to the essentials as it is. This is, in our times of mounting international crisis, exactly the kind of classic hardware receiver for makers to invest in, and for listeners to acquire and build. I do not doubt that the Stompful Stressless will be a new modern classic. Well, I did buy it, actually. Take it on your next de-expedition and report back to me. My warm thanks go to Heinz Stompful at Stompful Ham Electronics for the kind loan of the radio. Website, heinzstompful.ch. That's H-E-I-N-Z. STAMPFL.ch. And now, GMRS, a seriously useful citizens band, by Corey G.B. Sickles, WA3UVV. When the citizens band radio service first appeared in the United States, it was divided into several classes. Class D is what most people recognize as CB radio. Occupying a slice of HF spectrum, formerly an amateur radio band, at approximately 27 megahertz. Originally segmented into 23 channels, it later became 40, with full carrier AM amplitude modulation and SSB single sideband, suppressed carrier transmissions permitted. In recent years, FM frequency modulation has been added to the mix. While not offering the range of SSB, FM is a more enjoyable mode to communicate with, certainly eschewing the squealing heterodynes of too many AM stations trying to work skip at the same time. Although it would have made early CB transceivers more expensive, FM is the way that Class D CB should have been designed from the start. Class C also initially appeared at 27 MHz, wedged in between some Class D signals, with the designators 3A, 26.995 MHz, 7A, 27.045 MHz, 11A, 27.095 MHz, 15A, 27.145 MHz, 19A, 27.195 MHz, and an overlay of Class D Channel 23, 27.255 MHz, which has been used for small, inexpensive paging purposes. The A channels were designed for remote control toys, such as airplanes, boats, and cars. In the 60s and 70s, when Class D transceivers used discrete crystals for transmitting and receiving, some acquired Class C crystals and operated illegally there to have a quieter and more private place to chat. Class C also encompasses a 72 MHz and 75 MHz set of frequencies as well. Classes A and B CB were assigned to the UHF spectrum. Class A offered higher power with very tight tolerances as to frequency stability. Class B was assigned a lower power tier with slightly more forgiving frequency tolerances. Owing to the higher frequencies and tighter engineering required, Class A and Class B transceivers were considered prohibitively expensive in the 50s and 60s. Class D enjoyed a popularity that A and B never did. As time passed and the FCC enacted numerous rule changes, Classes A and B became the General Mobile Radio Service, or GMRS. It remains the only service under the FCC's Part 95 umbrella that still requires a license and the use of a call sign rather than a license by rule. This is but one of the aspects of GMRS that many of its enthusiasts find attractive. If you harbor any imaginings that GMRS is the veritable free-for-all melee that can be found on 27 MHz, abandon those right now. GMRS is a more formal, structured, and some might term adult, two-way radio service. It also utilizes FM. In addition, GMRS offers the use of repeaters, which can extend the range of mobiles and especially portables by a considerable factor. However, as it exists in the UHF spectrum and not the HF spectrum, you will not experience the daily periods when the skip rolls in, and that is a welcome change too. The license fee used to be $70 for a 10-year period. Now it is a mere $35. For the utility that GMRS represents, it is more than worth the $3.50 per year. I spend more than that on a given day at my local coffee shop. Call signs follow a format with four alpha characters, a W being first, and three numbers. An example would be WABC123. Some old-time Class D CB enthusiasts may remember the days of FCC-issued licenses when the format was three alpha characters and four numbers, such as KAB1234. Unlike amateur radio, this license does not require a demonstration of any particular expertise beyond the ability to register with the FCC, fill out an electronic form, and handle an online transaction. Much like amateur radio, business communications and broadcasting are forms of communications that are generally prohibited. While there was a time when businesses could qualify for a GMRS license, only those that were grandfathered in when the rules changed still have one. Today, GMRS is intended for personal use. A GMRS license holder must be 18 years of age or older. Members of your immediate family are covered by the same license. If a minor does something on the radio that is prohibited, the FCC will not be focusing their enforcement procedures on the minor. They will be looking at the license holder, so some training on what is and is not allowed would be a prudent use of time with kids. Of course, you can talk with other GMRS license holders. Much as with amateur radio, GMRS can be thought of as a local or regional community with conversations that cover a wide range of topics. Many friendships have resulted from on-air conversations and the discovery of shared interests. Table 1 lists the simplex talk-around frequencies available on GMRS. Table 1, GMRS simplex channels. Frequency 462.55, 50 watts maximum. 462.5625 megahertz, 5 watts maximum. 462.575 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. 462.5875 megahertz, 5 watts maximum. 462.6 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. 462.6125 megahertz, 5 watts maximum. 462.625 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. 462.6375 megahertz, 5 watts maximum. 462.65 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. 462.6675 megahertz, 5 watts maximum. 462.7 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. 462.7125 megahertz, 5 watts maximum. 462.725 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. 462.75 megahertz, 50 watts maximum. Back to the text. The interstitial channels with 25 kilohertz centers are limited to 5 watts of output and were intended for portable operation. The more traditional channels with 50 kilohertz centers are limited to 50 watts of output. Higher powered mobiles and fixed site stations are fine here. This also includes repeaters, which we will get to in more depth further down the page. First, though, let us talk about the radio equipment that you can obtain to get on the air, repeater or not. As mentioned before, GMRS is covered under Part 95 of the FCC's rules and regulations. Part 95 type accepted equipment is what is supposed to be used. However, in years past, there has not been much available in the way of Part 95 mobile or base transceivers. Portables have been available, which solves part of the issue, but what of higher-powered stations? By default, Part 90 type accepted land mobile radio LMR transceivers and repeaters have been pressed into service. These are commonly found in use by commercial and public safety interests. Purchased from used dealers such as used-radios.com, you can get Motorola, Kenwood, and other brands, with a warranty and basic programming included. Just be sure you are ordering a model that covers the 460 MHz to 470 MHz range. Digital voice modes, such as DMR, NXDN, or P25, are not allowed on GMRS, so a simple analog FM transceiver is all you need. Again, Part 90 radios are not what the FCC wants you to be using with GMRS, and I am not suggesting that you do. I am just making you aware of what others have been doing for many years and what the considerations are. In recent years, though, some Part 95 mobile radios have been announced. One company that many Class D enthusiasts will be familiar with is Midland. They have a well-rounded lineup of portable and mobile transceivers. They also offer base configurations of the latter, plus repeater solutions. Their MXT115 is a 15-watt mobile with a list price of $165. They also offer a 50-watt MXT500 with a list price of $400. Unlike Part 90 radios, which require programming software and cabling to affect any changes you may wish to make, Part 95 radios do not. When I am considering the purchase of a new radio, computer, test equipment, or pretty much anything else, I look at price, but what I really consider is cost of ownership. Although a used Part 90 radio may appear to have a lower cost up front, the additional expense for programming and the inconvenience factor all adds up for me. Companies such as Radiodity and Wuxin sell GMRS portables, many with additional receive features and coverage of other bands. Thus, you can use them effectively as you would a scanner. Some models also include NOAA weather radio channels pre-programmed, along with priority scan alert detection features. This is nice to have in just about any communications device. At one time, portable radios with two-way GMRS, multi-use radio service, MURS, and even marine channel capabilities were sold. Those are no longer allowed to be manufactured. However, you may find one used. As far as I know, it is permissible to use one within the confines of each service's rules, but do not waste your time looking for such a radio in new condition. You will also find GMRS portables sold in department stores, many times in blister packs. Most often they mention Family Radio Service, FRS, capabilities. FRS channels are interwoven within the GMRS frequency allocation, and some are shared. However, FRS is a different service than GMRS. FRS radios are limited to 1/2 watt and cannot have removable antennas. The deviation is 2.5 kHz, which is half that of GMRS. The result is that FRS transmissions received on a GMRS radio will sound low in volume. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.